Yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about, and whatever you focus on grows, it expands, it manifests in your life. The creative power of thought, of sustained thought. And it's not a single thought, it's the thing that you hold. Some people refer to it as your mind's eye, but it's this idea of the things that you hold. The Science of Getting Rich uses terms for this that aren't common today. Things like the term the infinite or formless substance. This is just that place where you hold creative thoughts. I've often referred to it as the place where prayers go. You know, we don't know where that is. We don't know why positive thinking seems to express itself in the physical world. The people who are more positive. See, whenever you say these things, there's always the exceptions to the rule. There's always a guy who's always a negative asshole and he does well. So in everything I've learned in life, there's an exception to the rule. But most of us aren't exceptions to the rule. Now, most of us think we are. See, most people go real light on themselves, but demand a lot out of others. Most people are delusional in what they can accomplish, right? And think very little of others. And so we get real skewed in our way of viewing ourselves and the world. We become real dogmatic. Well, that's not what I think, so then you shut it off. We cut ourselves off from other people, from the ability to learn from other people. Well, I'm 30 years older than that guy. What could he possibly teach me? And the worst of all, you stop seeking wisdom. You stop seeking advice. You stop looking for guidance. You're at some sort of point in your life where you think you've gotten everything all figured out. You don't need help. One of the greatest passions, or what would be the phrase, pursuits in your life should be the continual, perpetual of learning. I was recently reading an interview. Whenever the stock market gets crazy, I like to dig into Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, you know, the grandfathers of value investing. These guys kind of put things in perspective. And he says that part of the reason that him and Warren Buffett have done so well, one of the things that he learned from Warren was Warren is continuously learning. He's continuously reading. He's continuously trying to refine and improve what it is he does. And it's through that pursuit that he thinks he's kind of kept his mind young. I've taken up the idea of playing games that cause my mind to think in strategy, because as I age, I can feel my mind slowing down. I'm not as sharp-witted as I used to be. I'm not as quick to come up with the ad campaigns. I don't have the energy that I used to have to do that. And so I'm like, man, I need to start working my mind in the same way that you would work muscles. This is why you see people who only read fiction. You'll notice a lot of times they don't grow in their life. They don't grow wealth. Their business doesn't expand because they're limiting their life to things that aren't real. You know, they're not actually working on themselves. They're not putting any effort and time into their own mind. You know, the three keys to a successful life is health, wealth, and mindfulness. And then in those three areas, you can see as you begin to not push those areas, as you don't focus on the areas, because what you think about comes about, and what you focus on grows. When you stop focusing on wealth for whatever reason, it begins to shrink. And when you stop focusing on your health, and often we go the opposite way, we begin to do things every single day that work against us, and those things begin to compound. Same with our mind. So if you fill your mind only with fiction, with no thought whatsoever of improvement, don't be surprised when you don't improve. I mean, most things in life are just simple, right? If you want more, do more. You know, it's simple. If you want more money, stop giving the money you have away. simple. And she'd always look for the simplest fix first. Most things aren't complicated. Most things in life are actually pretty simple. It's just, how do we implement the simple? You know, we have a business. We just simply need people to do business with us, to buy our product, right? But through marketing, some businesses have to be marketed. Some businesses are so constructed that people just don't jump right on it. People don't jump right on normally buying health insurance. They have to be educated and explained and sold on why they need it. And that's not a bad thing. Having to sell people is an art. It's a craft. And it's something you should continually pursue of how do I sell what it is I do to more people? That's how you build wealth. That's how you increase life, right? In chapter 13, is it 13? Hold on just a second. No. If we're looking at chapter 14. We had been talking in the book about this idea of getting into the right business. You have to be in the right platform. If your goal is to pursue and build wealth, you might have a hard time doing that as a bus driver. Right? Now, not impossible, but it can be done. You know, not impossible. It can be done. Ronald Reed, when I was talking about compounding recently, Ronald Reed, I mentioned to him, he was a janitor, lived on a modest income, and by the age of 92, when he passed away, he had built a portfolio of over $8 million. Ronald did that because he had a plan. And so it is possible for anyone, regardless of age, race, or financial situation, or current situation, it is possible for anyone, given enough time and given a plan, to build wealth. Completely possible. You just have to do it, right? And to follow a plan that with such a large span of time requires you to see the big picture. And this is one of the ideas I teach in my newsletter, Pathways to Wealth. One of the 10 pillars of success. Pillar number one is what you think is everything. And pillar number 10 is taking full responsibility for everything. But one of the other pillars is seeing the big picture. And so as you begin to work through these 10 pillars, it will ensure that you build wealth. If you just started following them at 40, at 60, you're a millionaire. Problem is, you have to make you follow them. You know, I have a business strategy that I promote, a way that I market, and it works because I do it every single day, and yet there's a lot of people that it doesn't work for, but they're not doing what I'm doing. They're not doing it the same. They're not doing it in a certain way. They're not doing it the same way. And I can't make them. All I can do is share it. There go my dogs. Now, one of the reasons that your business can work and my business works is this idea of increase. That inside of human nature, we all feel this thing, this idea of this need to increase, that the moment you stop increasing, the moment you stop growing, you can't, there's no standing still. You go backwards. In my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, I talk about this idea that the moment you cut off income coming into your house and you switch from earned income to passive income or to Social Security, you literally begin to go backwards. You begin to go into negative. You begin to lose your wealth. And poor poverty is not far behind. And so as people move into retirement and begin to draw Social Security and move on to disability, you must find a way to make more money. You must have a plan for this. You can't do it where I'm just going to sit home and checks are going to come to me. I promise you what will come is poverty. You don't have to make a lot of money, but damn it, you have to figure out something to do that money comes in. You can't just not do that. You will die poor. I promise you. More people need to be told this, not their hand not held, not telling them it'll be okay. It's not okay. And you need to find something, because I believe anyone can do something. There's always something that you can do to improve your situation and to make more money. And placating to people isn't what we should be doing. We should be looking for ways to increase. This is what nature does. If you burn down a forest, it comes back even stronger. It's in nature. It's built into us, this idea of continuously increasing, more life, more food, more houses. That's why people, when they say, well, I don't understand, why would they keep buying that? Because it's the urge, it's nature within them to buy more, have more, do more. That when you get to a point where you're like, no, I don't need more, I understand what you're doing is against nature. That's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You're not supposed to be content with having a little. You're supposed to seek more because you can't give if you have a little. The very commandment that is buried, better to give than to receive, you can't give if you don't have. So how the hell can you help others? Being content with a little is the most selfish position of all. It says, I only care about me. I only want enough for me. That's what that means. So people stop fighting. They stop fighting to help other people, and they settle in just to be content with serving themselves. Now, people don't see it that way. People don't see, you know, you can't talk to people like this. You can't say, well, poor people are the selfish of all. It's not the rich. That you have it backwards. People take insult to this. Well, I don't know, because you don't have anything to give. And most of the time it's because people gave up on it. When times got tough, they quit. They didn't find a way around the mountain or dig a hole through the mountain. They just sat down, took up stake and said, I'll just stay here, poor me. And they didn't fight. They didn't go down fighting. They surrendered. I hear it all the time. People tell me this all the time in my business. Well, I don't need to get rich. I just need a little. Bullshit. You need to get rich. What are you talking about? Stop saying such stupid things. Now, you may have given up on the possibility of you getting rich. You may have given up. Wallace Wattles wrote the book, The Science of Getting Rich, when he was poor. He didn't get rich till the end of his life. He was broke when he wrote the book. He's broke. Whether you change your vocation or not, your actions for the present must be those pertaining to the business that you are now engaged in. You can get into a business you want by making constructive use of the business you are already established in, by doing your daily work in a certain way, insofar as the business consists in dealing with other men. Whether personally or by letter, the key thought of all your efforts must be to convey to their minds the impression of increase. Now, I do direct mail for a living. I promote network marketing. I don't go to my friends and family. I don't invite you to a meeting. I'll never ask you to join my program. Why? Because it's not how I do it. I take my message to strangers. I go into the marketplace. I look for people who are like me. I have a phrase that I say, I'm only looking for people who are looking for me. See, so my message is going to be easy. They're either going to accept it or not. There's no me talking them into it. I'm looking for people who have already sold themselves on what it is I'm doing. Insofar as your business consists in dealing with other men, whether personally, it's one-on-one, or by letter, which is what I do, by letter. I communicate by letter. And in my letters, I have numbers that people can call and they can hear my little sales pitch. And so they hear me audibly, they see a picture of me on the paper, and they read my words of increase. The reason the words of increase work is within us, because of nature. It's been implanted in us like DNA. Is this need for increase, for more money, for more life, for more. And so we can market into that. We can know that people need that. This is why get rich quick works. Because within us, people want to get rich. And so we tickle that. This is why sex always sells, because within us, there's this need to have sex. And so if you can target that, you can take advantage of that need. And this is why weight loss always works, because within us, we're vain. We want to look good and feel good and lose weight. We can't help it. It's inside of us. We want to feel better. So we'll try the concoctions. We'll try the lotions because we're weak, because within us, there's this impression of increase. We want more. We want to look better. We want to feel better. We want to get rich. This is why weight loss, sex, and get rich quick always works in any market you can sell it. Because it's in us to want these things. And so marketers can present the idea of increase to you and get you to impulse and get you to buy things you wouldn't ordinarily buy. You can't help it. Now, some people can control it and some can't. And as a marketer, you're trying to target the people who can't. Because the money you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbook, and credit cards of other people. I say that sometimes and that makes people cringe, like, ugh. It's because they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand where money comes from. You don't make money. It's not in your basement. The government's not making the money that comes to you. The money's making the money. The government's making money that'll circulate into the economy. It's commerce. It's people exchanging with people. So all of my money's in the pockets of other people. I need to be talking to them. And if I'm talking to them, I need to understand how their mind works. And if I know they have this built-in thing in them that makes them want to increase, it makes them want to have more money, more life, bigger house, more cars. They want this. I can market into that. I don't have to be ignorant of the fact of nature. I can see nature and utilize it. I can use the natural course of the world to my advantage. It's called being a tactician. That's what you're supposed to do. There's people who say, well, these people are primitive. No, they're not. You can't make people buy something they don't want to buy. You can't beat people up into buying a car. They're buying a car because they want a car. Now, wanting a car and should you, is this a logical purchase? Should I be buying this? Well, that's different. That's called personal finance. That's not the car salesman's problem. His job isn't to manage your finances. You're the idiot that bought the car. But what he's doing is filling a need, this need. I want a new car. I want a new car every day. I want a new house. I want more houses. I want more income. I want to sell more books, right? And so if you can show me a way to do that, you can sell me real easy. But this process of understanding how to deal with people and how to communicate with people effectively to get them to pay you more, buy more, respect you, listen to you, this starts right now, right where you're at, right where you're doing, right this second. Right this second. Where you're at right now, what you do for a living right now. If you're a door greeter at Walmart and you want to be bigger, then all you got to do is be a really damn good door greeter. And guess what? They won't leave you on the door because they don't leave really good people doing the lowest job. They move them up. It's the rule of, it's basics. It's basics. It's how the universe works. If you're too big for the room you're in, the universe opens a door and puts you in a bigger room. It has to. Now, it may not happen immediately. It may take time. You may have burned some bridges. You may have done some things that are going to make people say, well, I don't know if I believe him yet. But it works. In my own business, some people will start to do the process and they'll say, well, I did that. And it's like, yeah, you did it twice. Oh, I followed up with that guy. Yeah, twice. He was busy both times. Keep knocking. And then keep knocking. I've been following up with people by letter and by hand for 17 years. Keep knocking. At some point, you have to fight and do battle for what it is you say you want. At some point, your mouth and your ass and your actions all have to line up. So in other words, you're taking actual actions based on the things that you say you want instead of just saying it. Some point. And that point could be today. Why not today? What if today your actions began to match your mouth and you began to do the things that you said you wanted to do? Oh, I want to get in shape. Then start today. I want to build wealth. Then open a brokerage account or call a realtor. Do things that build wealth. You understand you can look at real estate and not buy it. I look at houses all the time. I'm not buying them. I have zero intention of buying this house. And yet, I look at them. Why? Because I buy houses. I buy houses. I'm always in the process and I'm always looking to buy a house. Why would I be looking when I actually don't have money today to buy a house? I'm actually working on two houses at the moment. Why? Because what you think about comes about, and what you focus on grows. See, the moment I remove myself from the marketplace and I say, oh, the market's too expensive, guess what happens when it gets cheap? I'll miss it because I'm not in the market. This is the problem with people who try to time the stock market. Oh, a big crash coming. Okay, let the crash come. So your account drops in half. And if you're properly diversified, you own multiple assets that produce income, all that's going to happen when it drops in half is you get to buy more shares cheaper. You get to actually compound. That's the whole freaking point. The whole point of investing is compounding. The whole point is not to you put a bunch of money in there. It's that the money you put in there begins to generate money, and then you reinvest that money while continuing to put money in there. And the best thing you could do to accelerate that process is to be able to do it at cheaper prices. And yet everyone does the exact opposite and panics because they're gutless. Most people follow the herd because they're spineless, gutless crybabies. Bottom line, that is why most people fail. Because they're weak. They're weak. Period. You say, well, you know, now, does bad luck happen? For sure. For sure, bad luck happens. You didn't know that would happen? I mean, that's what term life insurance is for when bad luck happens. That's what health insurance is for when bad luck happens. It's what emergency funds are for when bad shit happens, right? That's why I have an emergency fund. Now, I could take the money from my emergency fund and I could buy a house, but then I won't have an emergency fund. I won't be properly allocated. And so to become properly allocated, to build wealth, to do these things, requires work, effort. It takes years. It's hard. It's hard. And it angers me because anyone can do it. But here's the problem. It's hard. Three keys to a successful life: health, wealth, and mindfulness. You have to work these, all three, all the time. And it's hard. This is why people don't do it. Buying, acquiring, owning, repairing, fixing, and managing real estate is hard. This is why people don't do it. It's effort. But the one that shocks me, investing in the stock market, requires no effort at all. You just click, click, done. And people still don't do it. Because they're afraid of things they don't understand. They can't control their emotions. This is why they start and stop. This is why they hop from network marketing program, network marketing program, network marketing program, never actually doing the work, always having the excuse, well, I did what they said. Well, what they told you was wrong, or you did it wrong, or you misinterpreted it. And so my goal in my industry has been to speak the truth. To speak the truth. And you have the perfect job right now. You may not like your job, but let me give you a tip. If you're not the best in the world at what you're doing right now, it's your fault. In other words, if you're a cashier at McDonald's, you should be the best cashier at McDonald's, period. There is nobody that can work this cash register better than me. And you know what happens when you do that? If you come into work early every day, every single day, no excuse, every single day, and you leave late every single day, you do more than you're paid for and you're more competent than they ask you to be and you're the best, you know what happens? I promise you. You're not the cashier anymore. You're not. Now, you may get passed over one time or two times, but it doesn't happen forever. You move up. It's the same way you build a downline. You put in the work. You do more than you're asked. You mail more. You talk to more. You do more. You're present. And the universe rewards you. And you do it consistently. Over time. And the universe rewards you. It works. It's the same formula for building wealth. It's the same formula for building your business, for driving for UPS, or being a good grandparent. I have a lot of older people that listen to me. They're 50s, 60s, 70s. and you've left no written record of your life here on earth. You've left no written advice for your grandchildren or great-grandchildren or children to follow. My book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, that was my first copy. I'm going to begin working on the draft. You know what the purpose of that book is? I'm hope that my great-grandchildren will read it. And some of the things won't apply. But I'm going to tell them, listen, read my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke. And it's the philosophy. The stocks I mentioned will change. The businesses I mentioned will change. But business won't change. The things that I did, you may do differently. But it's the philosophy. It's the process. And they can read that and go, my great-grandfather wrote this. And it's pretty damn good advice. Now, some of it is common. But sometimes hearing it from the right person or from a... And, you know, some of the times the things that your grandfather told you are the things that you actually do because you realize, damn, my grandfather was wise. And so some of us could write a book on what not to do, how not to spend your life, how not to waste it, how not to end up broke like I did. That's an actual book of value. Telling people what not to do is pretty good. I recently bought a book on how not to buy real estate, and it was called Real Estate Deals Gone Bad. And it profiled 20 deals that went bad. And some of these were horrific. I was like, holy crap, as I'm reading these. But I'm learning things like, oh man, I need to make sure I check that. I'd never even thought about that. Get it? And so I'm learning from what went wrong. And so we're here 20, 30, 40, you know, we're here 60, 70, 80 years and there's no written record. You leave no advice for anyone. That's terrible. It's terrible. In this world we live today, the fact that your grandmother passes away and doesn't leave you a cookbook is ridiculous. Why wouldn't grandma leave that? So her great-granddaughter can go, hey, these cookies we're having for Christmas, my great-grandmother did them. She hand-wrote a recipe book in the 1850s. How cool would that be? All of us say, yeah, that's cool, but you don't do it today. There's no written record of your existence. I don't know how long it'll last. But let people know you were here. You have advice for other people. Should you have advice that if you follow would do well? Half of you know what to do. People don't need to be. Most of these things that I talk about and teach are just common sense. You just need someone in your ear. You need a coach. You need someone reminding you. I do these talks to remind me. Read the damn book, Gerald. Follow the three keys to a successful life. Listen to the 10 pillars. Take your own advice. You know what to do. I have to remind myself. Because you know what? It rips your heart when you watch your investments fall by 30%. When all of a sudden your houses have been rented for 3 years, no problem. And all of a sudden now you got four of them open and you got four mortgage payments, but you don't have the four rent checks coming in, right? And so we go through these things in life. Shit gets hard. This is what emergency funds are about, to prepare for this. So what I've been teaching and what I've been writing is for today, right now. What is happening to me right now, I've been writing about. Preparing. So imagine if I got to this point and I wasn't ready. And so I use that as a lesson and I go to my son and I say, listen, my business is under attack right now. He's like, what are you talking about? So I got four units open. I got mortgages on all four units. Money not going out is the same as money coming in. Remember I talked about that in understanding compounding? So four, average rent is $1,000 a month. That's $4,000 not coming in, but I still owe the insurance, the taxes, the mortgage, the flip over, the turnover, right? That's bad. My business is under attack. You say, well, it's not under attack. These are just the natural cycles of business. Yes. But I'm at war. You need to run it like a general. What's the plan? See, I can let this shit happen to me, or I can get aggressive. I can push back. I can attack. And so I need to put together a plan to attack this, right? And so I have an order of outcome. This house first. This one needs to be done here. Boom. As soon as it's done, we're going to move over here. Boom. We need to move these funds into here, and we need to do this and do this, and we need to set this up. Oh, by the way, I have another business to run. Oh, by the way, I got a wife and children and family. Oh, by the way, it's Christmas. And so we're trying to, you know, do these things. And they're not going to be balanced. They're not going to be balanced. My mom was called and wanting to do, let's do Christmas Eve around 10. I said, Mom, I can't do Christmas Eve at 10 a.m. Well, I got to work. She was like, what? I said, Mom, my business is under attack. It's going to be at 4 p.m. I got things to do. And no, I can't wait. I'm under attack. She doesn't get it. There's no rush. She just takes it as it comes. Now, I love my mom, but my mom ain't got no responsibilities. She doesn't have these houses to, she's responsible for. She doesn't owe the bank money, right? She doesn't have employees. She doesn't have affiliates and distributors that she's accountable to. She doesn't have to make payroll. She doesn't have quarterly taxes. Property taxes coming due in December. And insurance. No, I take care of that for her. And I sat down and my son is like, well, I don't understand. You know, it's December. And I began to break down for him. I was like, son, I got state taxes due. I got quarterly taxes due. I got property taxes due. I got employees I need to give Christmas bonuses to. I've got four houses empty. I've got the stock markets down by, my accounts down by like 30%. I mean, we're under attack. All of these things are coming in 1 month. But here's what I know. What you think about comes about. And what you focus on grows. So I could become overwhelmed. I could be defeated, or I could be a good general. And say, how do I work this to my advantage? See, here's the beautiful thing. While I don't like having four houses open, all of them I can raise the rent. See, the rents have come up. These people have been in there 6-7 years. A little bit of sweat equity, I'm going to be able to raise the rent. This time next year, my income went up. This time next year, my houses are more valuable. Get it? So I'm going to take lemons and make lemonade. This stock market pullback, this hit pretty heavy, man. Some of the assets, I have assets that have fallen 50%. People don't realize this because they're not watching day to day. They don't invest for a living like I do. Do I think it's going out of business? No. So I have a rare opportunity to buy, to build my income. Think of the chance I have here. I get to raise the rent on four houses. And every dollar that I can scrounge up, if I can buy these quality companies, I raise my income next year. And so I have a chance to let this war, let this little battle beat me down, or to grow. To start swinging with a plan. Take this book, The Science of Getting Rich. Take these 17 chapters, begin to apply them to my life, and just walk the walk and do what it is I talk about and teach in these books. This is what it's about. It's easy when it's easy. It's easy when it's easy. Anybody can do it then. It's when it gets tough. See, the possibility of having four open, this is why people don't do real estate. But this is why I get paid. An entrepreneur is about living today like other people won't, so that you can live tomorrow like other people can't. That's my definition. That's my definition. What is an entrepreneur? An entrepreneur lives today like other people won't, so he can live tomorrow like other people can't, man. Dig into this book. Merry Christmas.